I love, love, love to travel. I love to go someplace new. I love to go someplace I've been before. I love to enjoy the food when I travel. There are no calories on vacation. I love history. We have done some travel where it's been centered around history. I love experiencing new things, new cultures, just all the things of this world that I have yet to see. I love when I get to experience them. Jeff Walling did an illustration that I saw many, many years ago, and I'm going to share it with you, so it's not new to me. I will tell you this much. When I travel alone, I like this. I can put a lot of stuff right inside there. We call it a carry-on. Because what's nice with the carry-on is you can just shove it into the bin above your head on an airplane. When you're walking around the airport, you can just, with a couple of fingers, roll it back and forth. It's really nice. And what's really good is that you can say, I don't have any baggage. Well, I have a carry-on, but I don't have any baggage. Okay? I don't have to go to baggage claim. I can just walk on out of the airport. I can tell whoever's picking me up, I don't have any baggage. Well, I have this. But I don't have baggage. I'm pretty good at being able to hide it. The sad thing is, when it comes to life, that may work on an airplane and say I don't have baggage, but when it comes to life, it doesn't work the same way as it does with Southwest. Okay? When it comes to life, I do have baggage. But I try to hide my baggage really well. And I work hard at that. In fact, I would say that I'm not the only person that does. I would tell you pretty much everybody, maybe not everybody, but the vast, vast majority of people don't want their baggage to be seen by everybody else. So they hide their baggage in life. And sadly, one of the biggest places where people hide their baggage is when we come together as a church. If you don't believe me, I will give you a true life example. Growing up, because I definitely wouldn't say anything about my wife or my kids, so I'm going to talk about my parents who were deceased and my brother and sister. Growing up Sunday morning, of course my dad was a preacher, growing up on Sunday morning, life was hectic. And my dad's belief is if you're not 30 minutes early to worship or Bible class, you're at least 15 minutes late. So early was everything. And there were times where we didn't live next door to the church building, so we would drive to worship. There is nothing more frustrating for my dad than for one of us kids to not be ready to go to Bible class and worship on time. And my mother could feel that anxiety, and he would kind of take it out on Mom. Mom would take it out on us kids. I guess we're supposed to kick the cat, but you work your way down. we would get in the car and there would be not just tension, but sometimes it would be mom leaning over the back seat saying, I told you not to do that. Now, when will you guys learn? Keep your mouth shut when we get there. I'm tired of all of this that's going on right now. Just keep your mouth shut. They get out of the car and it's, hey, brother, how are you doing? It is so good to see you today. Let's just praise God. I mean, we could hide our baggage better than anybody else. And that's the preacher's family. I would guess that's most families. I'd really guess that's most families. If you don't think you have baggage, let me share with you a verse. Let's bring up a verse here. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. John would write, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I want to just come back to the very beginning of that. If we say we have no sin, help me out here, we deceive whom? If we say we have no sin, we deceive God, right? No. If we say we have no sin, we deceive whom? Ourselves. The bottom line is this. You've got baggage. And if I'm the first one to tell you that, I'm sorry. But it's truth. You got baggage. And if you think you don't, the only person you're kidding is you, okay? Because I can guarantee you, if you're married, your spouse knows you have baggage. If you have children, I can guarantee you, your children know, as mom and dad, you guys have baggage. They know that. So the only person that is being deceived in this, I've got to hide my baggage of life, is me. If I were to say this is what my baggage really looks like, I want you to see this picture. That's probably more accurate. Okay? Not this. That's probably a lot more accurate. I mean, I've got things coming out of every aspect of my life, and it's overflowing, and it's just held together by nothing more than twine. I have been to a lot of airports. I have been at the baggage carousel when someone's luggage has come down and they literally bind it with twine and it's sticking out and the underwear's hanging out and the brassieres are hanging out and everything else is hanging out. And you know what? You are so thankful that's not your luggage. In fact, you really want to see who's going to pick it up. And if it is your luggage, what you do is you just walk away because you ain't grabbing that bag in front of anybody. Okay? When you do grab it, it will be after the vast majority of people have gone. I carry around a lot of baggage. I saw a meme on Facebook. I thought it was really cute. Don't walk a mile in my shoes, but 30 seconds in my head. That'll freak you out. There's probably a lot of truth in that for most of us. It's difficult to carry all the baggage in life. It's difficult to labor so hard. It's difficult when you are weary and heavy laden. It is difficult to try to fix all of your own problems, or at least to try and pretend like everything can fit here and you can just stand in front of it and life is going to be perfect and good. It's really difficult to do that day in and day out and day in and day out and day in and day out until someday you just say, I can't anymore. And you break down. I am the type of guy that when we go grocery shopping, I really will carry 12 bags. I will line them up on both arms. It'll break my, I will have marks on my arms for hours trying to carry all of the groceries in at one time versus making more than one trip to the car to carry in the groceries. maybe dumb, but that's just me. Well, dumb may be me too, but carrying those bags is probably not the smartest thing I've ever done. When we went on our very first cruise, never knew anything about cruising. We were going up to Canada. It was in the fall of the year. We took a ton of luggage. We took everything but the kitchen sink because we didn't know what to dress for, and we were going to be both in Canada and on the sea, and we just didn't know what was going to be happening, and so we had a ton of luggage. We had a ton of luggage. We each had a suitcase, we each had a carry-on, and we each had a day bag. And by the time we got back with all the stuff we'd gotten on that particular trip, everything was stuffed. Everything was stuffed. And to make matters worse, is just before we went on that trip, we had gone fishing, if that surprises anybody. But we had gone fishing, and Carrie had come around, and she had tripped over the trailer hitch with the boat, and she had really hurt her ankle, so she really couldn't bear much weight at all. And I will use the term frugal. Some people may say cheap. I don't want to pay for anything I don't have to pay for. So I'd never cruised. We had never cruised. And I didn't want to have to pay for the porter to take my bags from where, when we got off the cruise ship, we met down in some huge some big luggage area. Then we had to go through customs because, you know, you'd been to another country. And then you had to go out to your car and put everything in your car. And I just really didn't want to pay anybody to do that. So I have got two suitcases, two carry-ons, two day bags, and I am trying my best to carry everything I can. And I am hot, tired, and angry. And I mean angry. And of course, I'm taking it out on carry, but it's half my luggage too. So this porter comes up to us and he literally stops me and he said, "I'm going to take your bags." And I said, he said, "I'm going to take your bags. I'm going to meet you on the other side of customs." He puts all of our bags on this cart. He walks on through customs. They don't check a thing. He just walks on through customs. We get out our passport. We go through our little area of customs. We meet him on the other side. He takes our bags outside. We're actually going to have to ride a bus over because I was too cheap to park at the parking lot. So we parked way off site somewhere, and so we had to get this other bus to take us over there. I'm telling you, every cruise we've been on, the first thing I look for is a porter. I ain't carrying my own bags. It is definitely worth a buck or two a suitcase to me to have somebody else do all that work on a trolley. But in life, I believe beyond a shadow of doubt, I've got to carry my own bags. And I've got to take my luggage everywhere I go, but I'm going to hide it so well that very few people will be able to look inside of me and see what is going on. Jesus makes a statement, Matthew chapter 11, what is probably considered one of the greatest of invitations. Jesus says at the ending of a longer situation, he says to them in Matthew 11, beginning in 28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We all have hurts and hang-ups and habits that hinder our spiritual walk. How do you like that for all the H's? We have those things. We're just normally pretty good at shoving them pretty deep inside ourselves. We're just pretty good at that. If there is ever going to be a safe place to share, it should be where God's people gather. If there's ever a place where a person shouldn't fear what we call the front row, but to say, That's me every week in one form or fashion. It should be us. When someone comes into the church family who is an unbeliever, but they're just trying to find Jesus in their walk, in their life, and they really don't know anything about the Bible, and they walk into a place like this, and the bottom line is they see a preacher, generally I'm wearing a suit, but it was going to be too hot today, so I shed the jacket, and you see somebody dressed up front, and everybody is looking nice, and everybody is smiling, and everybody's having a good day. And there are so many people that come in and they think, I couldn't fit into this church. And I'm not saying we need to just walk in here and break down every Sunday. That's not what I'm saying. Hear me out, please. What I'm saying is the church needs to be a safe place for a person to break down. It needs to be a safe place to just have Christian brothers and sisters that can look at you when they say, hey, how you doing? And you say, oh, I'm fine. And they'll look at you and they say, really? And you can say, no, I'm not. And they say, let's go step into the nursery. Let's just pray together. Tell me what's going on. Be authentic. Be real. I don't want to burden anybody. You're my brother. You're my sister. It's not a burden. We're the family of God. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I had to ask myself the question, how much do I choose to carry my own baggage instead of giving it to a baggage handler named Jesus Christ? How much do I have to fix before I turn to the one who can fix it all and say, I can't? Jesus knows the heart of every person. When this invitation is made, if you read Matthew chapter 11, it's at the end of a pretty harsh discourse. Woe unto certain people in these cities that could be saved before these people could be saved. There is a calling of repentance that is going on in Matthew 11. Repentance is far more than saying, I'm sorry. That's true. That's a good place to get started, but that's not really repentance. Repentance is changing. Repentance is turning around, turning aside, going down a different pathway. Repentance includes surrender and following Christ. And so when Jesus gets done tackling these places that are more tolerable, even though they were seen as such great sinful places, and he prays to God and he says to God, I'm so thankful that you're just allowing little children to understand. It's then that he says to the people, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Do I need to first take a look at my baggage and realize I can't do it? Absolutely. The struggle within me is difficult, but the first thing Jesus says is come. In Matthew 23, Jesus says that the teachers of the law sit in the seat of Moses. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. There was a huge problem in the days of Jesus. Very few people ever measured. And those that did were stuck up. And they did their best to make sure everybody could see that they measured up and the other person didn't. Jesus called out this group of elitists. But to the masses, he says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. Weary and heavy laden with what? Well, if I stay in chapter 11, I'm probably dealing with sin. That's really where I am. I'm probably trying to fix all of the hurts and the habits and the unhealthy things that I've been doing before I come to Christ. And Jesus says, if you're that weary, labored, tired, and you're that heavy laden, come to me for rest. When we were in Ukraine, by the way, you want to talk about baggage. We had 4 kids, 2 adults. We were gone for a month. There is a lot of baggage. That's a whole different story. When we were in Ukraine, and Carrie was helping to teach at a VBS, and ladies' nights that she was doing, and I was teaching a workshop, and it was in a country where neither one of us spoke the language at all, and we always had to have an interpreter around us, and the people of that church and that community in Ternopil were just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people to us. And there was a man who came up to me after one of my lessons, and he didn't speak any English at all. But through a female interpreter, one of the women that Carrie and I ended up very close to, and she's living in the States now, but he began to tell me his story. He said, I've been an addict, and it's been killing me, ruining my life, my marriage, and hurting my kids. Again, he's talking through this interpreter. He said, I was a Christian, but I didn't live the Christian life. And so the church, after a period of time of trying to reach out to me, finally cut me off and said, we cannot fellowship you behaving outwardly the way you are behaving. We can't do that. We love you, but we can't extend the same relationship with you that we have. He said, I was very angry, but I felt very ashamed. I decided I wanted to come back to church and that I needed to get better. And he went on to say, with the love of some of the people in that church, he was able to come back. He said, few people have ever known the type of love that was given to me. This church knows all my faults, but was willing to walk the road of recovery with me. And I know that's true, because we know several people who are walking the road of recovery with them in that church. I'd actually heard his story from somebody else. But he came up to share all of that. Jesus is calling those who are weary and heavy laden to come to him. When you're at the end of your rope, Jesus says, let go of the rope and fall into my arms. Do you know how much trust that takes? Because the rope seems to be your only hope. But you can't hang on. And it's hurting too much. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then Jesus says to them, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. This seems very ironic to me. I'm to come to Jesus for rest, and the first thing he talks about is yoking. Now, I am not a farmer, never been a farmer, never even want to be a farmer. I don't even want to live on a place that has a well and its own septic tank. I want city water and I want city sewer. Okay? But I now live in a place where I have seen physically animals yoked together. Again, I do not speak from any professional experience because I have zero in this area. But from what I am told, when they do yoke two animals together, generally one is very much understanding of what they need to do and the other one is more newer learning what it needs to do. So it yokes the one that is learning to the one that knows what's going on, so the one that is learning can do what the one that knows what's going on is doing. If that is true, and I'm going to assume it is, but if that is true, when Jesus says, take my yoke, he is calling us to be yoked with him. Take my yoke upon you. And then the calling is for me to learn from him. Which would make sense if what I've been told is true. It would make sense that then I would learn from the one that I am yoked. He would teach me the cadence of how to walk. He would teach me how to plow, how to do these things. Because I don't know them and I am untrained. But when I'm yoked to Jesus, he can guide me. And so his yoke is easy because the truth is he's doing the work. And I'm just kind of along for the ride. Learning how to do the work. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus is saying, I am taking your baggage. Jesus offered the people of Israel a choice. You could have the harsh, oppressive spiritual leadership called the scribes and the teachers of the law. Or you could have a new style of leadership that is based on lowly in heart and gentle. But really, they had to make a choice. They couldn't have both. Paul would tell us in Philippians that our attitude should be that of Jesus Christ. And how Jesus gave up his equality with God. He gave up everything to become mortal for a period of time. And he did so not just to experience what it means to be mortal, but because of sin of mankind that he would take in him. So I am to have the type of mindset of Jesus. That as a disciple of him, I so love others. That sacrificing is what I do, not because I have to fulfill some religious quota, but because my master that I'm yoked to has taught me how to do that. The truth of the matter is, I do. Carry around a lot of baggage. And I don't want anybody to see it. I really don't. And maybe I don't break down in front of everybody. But there are people that, especially my brothers and sisters in this congregation, who have taken myself or Carrie or others and just walked with them. Because the real baggage handler, Jesus, has taught them how to do that because they've been yoked with him. And now they are willing to come alongside me to help me. At what point in time do I say I'm done trying to play a game of looking good and just turn to Jesus and just say, I can't. I can't fix me. And I can't do this alone. At that point in time, Jesus says, come. Come. The decision is, will you follow Jesus? That's the decision you have to make. Have you decided to follow Jesus? If the answer is yes, praise God. That doesn't mean you don't have baggage. It means you have learned to turn over so much of that baggage to Jesus and to be willing to let others see some of the dirty laundry of your life and to keep walking forward towards heaven. Have you decided to follow Jesus? That's the question you have to answer. And I hope you can answer that question as we stand and as we sing.